Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more years, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting today from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and like us on Facebook. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today, we're joined in studio by Deacon Joel and Lisa Schmidt. And the topic for today's conversation is the sacrament of marriage. Father Zach, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of St. Elizabeth, for her faith, and for her pointing toward Jesus through her son, John the Baptist. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us that we would recognize the presence of Christ every day of our lives and the many moments that he speaks to us. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, it is the feast day of St. Elizabeth, which works out very well for our topic today, the sacrament of marriage. Obviously, she's a very important part of the Holy Family, being related to Mary, and she holds a very important part in our Catholic faith.
Absolutely, and we know the familiar story of the visitation from Luke's Gospel, that Mary hears that her cousin is pregnant, so she travels through the hill country. And I took a bus last summer across that hill country that she took to see her cousin. It is treacherous hill country that Mary took to go see Elizabeth, and it's many miles, and so it was not an easy journey. You know, it constituted a sacrifice, and it's really rocky terrain and things, so steep hills, and so not an easy trip for Mary. But we know the story that Mary arrives there, and that John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's womb, leaps for joy, dances for joy, you know, in the womb when he senses Jesus. One of the invocations in Mary's litany is that we call her as Ark of the Covenant. And just like the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, Mary has the presence of God, Jesus, in her womb, inside of her. And so Mary brings the presence of God into the lives of all of us. And we also know that David in the Old Testament dances before the Ark of the Covenant. And in the New Testament, John dances, if you will, in the womb of Elizabeth. So a lot of parallels there between the Old and the New Testament. So we give thanks to God for just one more saint that really points toward Christ.
And she must, I mean, it's not explicitly written in the Gospel, but she must parallel Mary's yes and the fact that Zechariah was punished for his skepticism towards God's message to him. And Elizabeth obviously wasn't. She was ready to receive the word of God at all times. Another great example of us to saying yes to God at all times. When we're looking for great examples of fidelity to God, you know, Mary and Elizabeth are right up there as people who also are devoted to their faith. They knew they had very strong relationships to God, and their lives were centered on that. Prior to having John and Jesus as kids, their lives were always centered around God. And what an example that is to us as men, as parents in the world today. So we're going to head to a short break, but when we return, we'll have Deacon Joel and Lisa Schmidt here in studio. So stick around, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today we are joined by Deacon Joel and Lisa Schmidt.
Joel is a Catholic convert, husband, father of four, deacon, as we mentioned, PhD biochemist, and a Wisconsin native. Lisa is a cradle Catholic.
Go Pack, go.
He had to throw that in. Yeah. Lisa is a cradle Catholic, wife, mother, proud Iowan, sports enthusiast, and talk radio junkie, and a past co-host of Catholic Women Now, our sister show.
Our sister show here on Iowa Catholic Radio.
So it's great to have you both. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So when Iowa played Wisconsin, is that a thing? Do you guys get in it then?
We both get in on the same side because we're both Cyclones.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just end this interview. Can we end this
interview? The raucous cheering in the
this is really this is really getting off kilter here. All right, we're gonna
now you guys. I grew up a Hawkeye, but went to Iowa State. Got 2 degrees there, so my allegiance is there now. Yeah. This is,
now you guys live
follow the money
near. You guys live near the high school where I work at by Dowling.
Absolutely.
How is the driving by your house? Because I know there's a lot of teenagers
7, 8
driving
in the morning,
by.
Just,
go ahead.
Yeah, at about 7:45 and 3 o'clock, it's a little crazy. But in the summer and all other times of the day, you really cannot hear the traffic. So, and we sit far enough back that we don't. It's not a bother.
And full disclosure, if you hear a child or two, they're not mine. And it's great that we're doing the Sacrament of Marriage, the topic today, because we actually have some fruit of that marriage here in the studio with us. So if there's noise, you'll know why it's not any of my children that have snuck
right
in. So this works out really well.
It'll actually be Father's Act.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And making noises.
Same, yeah.
All right. So we actually just did recently, we had Father Ross Parker on and talked about the vocation of priesthood. We really want to talk about the sacrament and the vocation of marriage. And so I think let's start with the discernment process of marriage. I think we had a kind of a mention it on the one of the vocations that people don't, in my mind, discern the vocation of marriage that much. Do you have a thought on that?
Oh, we do.
Go nuts.
We agree with you, Joe. So several years ago, Jimmy Becker, when he was a Focus student and he was discerning his vocation, asked us, we had him over for dinner, and he asked us point blank, how did you discern the vocation of marriage? And Joel and I kind of looked at each other like, well, we didn't really. And Joel, you.
Well, I told him I grew up a convert to the faith, so they're not mutually exclusive. You know, just about every minister or holy man outside of the Catholic Church is married, right? So it really made an impression on me that he wouldn't look at it any other way. And so I've always said since then, I think, you know, some of the luckiest women in the world are married to former seminarians, because you know for a fact that they actually discern their way out of religious life, which means they discern their way into married life. And I've become an apologist for discerning religious life, because if you're discerning one, you're discerning the other.
Well, and I think another thing that, and this goes back, if you listen to our priest episode, you're going to be hearing it twice from me, which is I think so seldomly people take a step back in life. They just kind of go through the motions and actually evaluate their life and the choices they're making and what this is going to ultimately lead to. And as you guys know, and this is where I'm going to be going with this interview, is to hear about the fruits of a marriage and the purpose of a marriage. Purpose of marriage is not just to get together and watch TV together their whole life. Like, that's not the purpose of marriage. As you guys, in your role, what do you see as the purpose of marriage?
Go ahead.
If the answer is watch TV, we can go with that too.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're binge watching Netflix alone, you're doing it wrong. That's some way to. Yeah. I think the simple answer is, you know, your job as a spouse is to help each other get to heaven, right?
Yeah.
You know, so the sanctification is, you know, is part of that that I think we take seriously. Now, when you're married, and you know, Joe, you're married, so you know that, you know, that works one of two ways. Either you're assisting that process, either by leading your spouse to Christ or by forcing your spouse to tolerate you and, you know, refining, you know, him or her in virtue. But that's, I mean, that's really it. You know, I don't, frankly, I'd be a much worse person and a much poorer coffee drinker too, were it not for my wife. I mean, I shudder to think where I would be were it not for that. And that's not to say that it's easy. But, you know, it's cliche to say anything worth having is, you know, is difficult, right? But as difficult as marriage is sometimes, I think about what the road would look like and how bumpy it's been. And if I had to navigate that alone, I'd be lost.
Well, I think there's some advice in there for people who are considering marriage or who are dating. And, you know, when you're looking for a future spouse, it needs to be someone you can challenge each other in the faith. You know,
there's a guy who's a national radio host, and he always says, listen, if on the first date you realize that you're not dating for marriage and that this isn't someone who can help you get to heaven, don't even go to a second date. Like, that needs to be the purpose, because otherwise, you know, it's you're on a boat and you're the only one paddling, and someone might be paddling the other direction, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, Joel likes to tell a story about one of our first dates. Maybe it was number three. I don't remember, but it was up there in the single digit dates. And he likes to tell people that I flat out issued a challenge to him. Well, I can't be in a relationship with a non-Catholic. And I don't know exactly how you remember the story. I don't remember being that blunt, but
we were riding in the car, and we lived up in Ames. We met at Iowa State University. And so we were going by St. Cecilia, the parish that we were attending, where Lisa was a member. And I don't remember exactly how this went, but basically she challenged me to go to Mass with her. Oh, she said, how do I know you're a man of God if you don't go to church anywhere? Remember, I'm a Catholic convert. Yep. I wasn't Catholic at the time. And, you know, I said something to the effect of, well, if you can't tell, that's your problem, not mine.
Which is going very well.
Yeah, very. Yeah. And so there was another date after this, too.
I know, amazing.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, I threw the gauntlet down. But in retrospect, thinking about it, you know, our baptismal call really is to allow the light of Christ to shine through us. So, I mean, my response couldn't have been further off the mark. If you can't tell that I'm a man of God, no, that's my problem. That's, you know, big time. But so... anyway,
the thing that saved him through all of the early dates was the fact that he is an excellent chef and continued to make me food and cheesecake, and that got me.
Guys,
food
listen
is my
here.
Love
this
language.
Is how you do it.
Good tips.
Yeah. This is great. I hope people are taking notes on this. It's very important.
How many years have you been married now?
14.
14. Next so, no, 14, as you kind of.
This four, month.
Thank you. Sorry.
This month. Oh, happy anniversary.
The 22nd. John Paul II's
feast day.
Oh, his feast day. Beautiful. Yeah. So, as you think about, you know, your anniversary coming up, what is it that in what ways do you think you've just grown as a couple, you know, as you look back over those 14 years? That's a personal question.
Very, yeah. You guys could have given me a little heads up. I would have thought about it here. This is a pop quiz.
Yeah, what were the show notes a week ago?
I think for me, the areas, like, I think we all have our prime areas of sin. Those areas that we continue, go back to the you know, Father, we go to you for reconciliation. And it just seems to be that same, for me, that same sin that I repeat over and over again. And I think even though I continue to repeat the sin, Joel helps me in the sanctification of those areas where I am weak. So an area that I think I have not done well in over the course of my life is the virtue of perseverance. I have... you know, not always ran the race with perseverance, and I've let go of things too soon, or I've given up on things, and he's helped me to build that virtue and, you know, stick to it and give me confidence and courage to keep at it when I want to quit. And that's especially with, you know, motherhood, when I'm a stay-at-home mom to four kids, walked away from a professional career with a very bright future, and... it's hard. It's been very hard. I'm now been a stay-at-home mom longer than I was in the workforce, and now I'm trying to figure out where is my identity. But yet, so in these 14 years of marriage, I think I have really been able to accept my vocational call as wife, as mother, and I don't know that I would have ever recognized what I would have missed out on. Like, I would have missed out on the privilege of the vocation of motherhood had had we not been continuing growing deeper in our faith over the years.
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah, like, I denying myself that vocation, if that makes sense.
What's been the biggest change for you in growth?
I would say for me, I was not someone who was particularly comfortable being vulnerable. There was sort of a running joke as I was going through diaconate formation that I was made of stone. so that still leaks out occasionally, I guess. But
I remind him that often when he's preparing his homilies. Like, remember what they said? Yeah, that's why they said it.
I would say that for me it's really been vulnerability. That wasn't something I was particularly comfortable with, and Being in a relationship that intimate really forces you to stretch yourself that way, particularly when you invite four kids into the mix.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who's kind of an intellectual, having a couple of advanced degrees, you can't think your way through everything. Mm-hmm. And in my life up until that point, I could kind of think and intellectualize and reason my way through pretty much any challenge that I had faced down. But in family life, that's not possible. I'm not saying that you have to abandon all logic and reason. Mm-hmm. Once you get married, well, you have to abandon some of it maybe. But yeah, you can't think and it's not just a big logic puzzle. And I think that's really what Lisa and being married in family life has really drawn out of me.
We listened to Iowa Catholic Radio on Man Up, and we're talking about the sacrament of marriage with Deacon Joel and Lisa Schmidt. And you talked about intimacy in marriage, and I think it was Father John Ricardo, but it's a line I use now, that the most intimate thing you can do in marriage is pray together. I mean, that is as exposed as you'll ever be is when you're bearing your soul to your wife. And I think that is something that when you talk about a foundation of marriage is if you can build that foundation, it's very biblical, build that foundation on God, on prayer, it's not the easiest thing to do by any means. It's a lot easier to not pray together. It's a lot easier. And then also, Lisa, you talked about the complementarity of the two of you, how he kind of builds up your weaknesses and then sounds like, similarly on the other side. That's, I know with Kristen and me, that is very much the case, is that when we during our dating process, we realized that I had strengths that filled in her weaknesses and vice versa. And I think one of the great things about our marriage, and this is for anyone out there, is to push each other to holiness. So mm-hmm. if she's getting up at 5:30 and reading the Bible and I wake up, I'm sleeping in and I wake up at 6 and I see her, I'm like, gosh, I need to get on it. And then, mm-hmm. Kind of similarly, I push her in the faith too. And so I think those are good things to think about as you're discerning marriage. And if you're in marriage today, how can you push your spouse in the good direction towards God?
And I like that you bring up the idea of the complementary prayer practices too, because we have very different prayer styles. And it is awkward to try to unite together. I'm more free-flowing, more evangelical, if you will, extemporaneous, where Joel is more, he loves the rote, rich Catholic prayers, which is interesting as a convert. He's drawn to those more than I am. And it'll be interesting when we're praying with our kids, the kids will say, Mom, can we just pray like you pray? Or they'll say, Mom, that's not how Dad does the prayers with us. Like the rote prayers.
So they'll have to take sides.
Yeah.
Is what you're hoping
right,
for.
Right.
That's pretty much it. Now you, your first call obviously is to holiness and to marriage. Now you kind of have a call within a call as well with mm-hmm. the diaconate. And I think our diocese does a great job of having this, the understanding that it's the husband and the wife involved in the process. And mm-hmm. so you've been part of that process for how many years?
I've been ordained for 4 years, and then it was a 4-year formation process before that, so a total of 8 at this point.
So how could you tell us a little bit about how you discern that call together as a couple? Because it's really a huge commitment on your parts.
Right, and it continues to be.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It didn't go away once he was ordained.
Yeah.
There's a whole set of obligations now. And
so when I was going through RCIA back at St. Cecilia and Ames, there was a deacon, John McCulley, who really he's a PhD, I believe, English professor, medieval literature professor at Iowa State. And so he really got the intellectual aspect of the way I approach the faith. And he became sort of a mentor to me. And there was a point pretty early on, I don't know if we were even married yet, I suspect we probably were, but we were in his office, we were meeting about something, I had some scriptural question or whatever, and we were walking out and he said to me, I've only said this twice before and I've been right both times, but I see you being a deacon someday.
Wow.
And
avoid that guy.
Yeah.
He's prophetic, yeah. There you go, Joe.
But anyway, so, that really hit me. I'm like, I need to pay attention to this. Holy cow. Because it came out of nowhere, but I had such a deep respect for him that I thought, I really need to listen to that. And so I came home and told Lisa about it. And from that point forward, we really thought about it and prayed about it and just sort of waited for God to, if it was truly a call, to open that opportunity. And so I guess the short version of that story is that I was attending a Knights of Columbus meeting, and this was at St. Francis, and they do benediction after after their Knights meetings, and they're looking for volunteers to do benediction. I'd never done that before, so I volunteered to do it. And when I went back to get prepared for that, a couple of deacons-to-be who were about to be ordained, I think a couple months later, were also assisting with that. And so we got into this conversation. They said, well, you know, the deadline's passed, but if you reach out to them, they might still be interested in adding you to the class. And so I came home and I told Lisa about this. Our oldest daughter, who's 10 now, was 2 at the time. Mm-hmm. And she had been in adoration that day, praying that God would put people into our lives. That
not our daughter, me.
Sorry. Yeah.
Not our 2-year-old. She's a good kid, but she was not in adoration at 2.
Very impressive.
So, yes, I was in adoration. Yes.
Lisa's really the better storyteller.
So, we've got about 3 minutes left in the interview. I got some pointed. I told you it's going to go fast. Some pointed questions. I'm just curious in your guys' thoughts. Advice for people considering or preparing for marriage, and then advice for people who are newly married. It could be the same, but...
Well, I think that it really is, like, so cliche to say, but you really got to pray about it. You've got to hand that over, and this idea of just praying and waiting, just mm-hmm. waiting on mm-hmm. the Lord, like, get comfortable with waiting. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that prayer practice starts when the child is 2. We were just joking about it, mm-hmm. but, you know, when the child is 2, you teach them the art of prayer and discernment. And so that when they become 18, 20, 22, 24, 34, whatever the year is, that praying and waiting on the Lord for a response isn't foreign, and they're not going to get antsy and jumped into the wrong situations or the wrong call. And not, so I think there's the idea of waiting, is underestimated, and it's hard to do in this culture when everything is so fast-paced.
We don't like to wait.
No, and we want instant gratification, instant answers. Mm-hmm. But I think pray and wait.
That courtship really needs to be marriage discernment.
Yeah.
And if, like Joe, like mm-hmm. you were saying, if that's not happening,
why are you wasting your time and your money? You're spending money on all these good meals. Why are you wasting all that money?
But it needs to be a discernment, you know, which obviously is rooted in prayer. And so if there's a discomfort with that dynamic, chances are you're not being called to be married to one another. You might both be being called to marriage, but not to one another. That has to be a dynamic that's involved.
One other thing I'd add to that is, and we talk about this a lot in men's groups, but joining up with other Catholic men who are striving for holiness as your friend group, similarly, if you can surround yourself with other Catholic couples, Christian mm-hmm. couples who are striving for holiness in their marriages, well, then your kids are going to be exposed to their kids. It's mm-hmm. it's going to make your life so much better when you can see what they're doing that's working. You know, I know Kristen and I, we had some mentors at our church that, you know, at St. Teresa's, just these couples that we look up to. Mm-hmm. And we would quite frankly call them, you know, as we're having our first kids, call them, just sit them down and say, we pick your brain for 2 hours on how you raise such great kids and what can we do to learn from that. And you know, and Father Zach's been a part of our Catholic couples community here, and it's just, you know, you've seen mm-hmm. all these great people get together, and I think that's another thing, is it's not just you and your wife on an island, mm-hmm. but there's a community of people out there that are willing to help, but you've got to kind of get plugged into that.
The iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Idea that we can't, you know, the Marines are really big on this, like, don't go at it alone, you know, mm-hmm. No
man left behind.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. No lone rangers. You know, you need each other to succeed.
Yeah, and I think that's the case in marriage as well. So, you know, final thoughts. Anything else you guys want to add to it, to add to the conversation before I close this thing up?
You love your wife.
Yeah.
I would just encourage men, you know, to, like you were saying, Joe, you do this in community. You know, the whole iron sharpens iron thing. The only way that we get better at being husbands is by reaching out to other men who are great husbands, the people who are role models to us, and having the humility to admit that we can't do this alone and that we need role models. We need people to, you know, in our adult years, you know, not to parent us, but to mentor us and to show us how this works. I reference Lisa's dad often when I'm talking about this dynamic. No disrespect to my dad, who is a fantastic man, but I learned how to be an adult Catholic man but through my interactions with Lisa's dad. He's a fantastic human being, and yeah, I'm all the richer for the time that that we cross paths on this earth.
Deacon Joel, Lisa, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to head to a short break. When we return, we will be back to wrap up our conversation on the sacrament of marriage.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness.
Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Zach, any parting thoughts?
We need good witnesses to marriage. I really appreciate their openness to speak today. And it's such a need to have. We talk about a band of brothers all the time, but to have kind of, you know, those other marriage couples that we're friends with. So just want to encourage our listeners, you know, who are married or about to be married, to spend time with other married couples and learn from them, especially those maybe who have been married a little longer. And, you know, those who are engaged, just spend time asking questions of married couples. We have a number of people we know that are engaged. So, so we just want to encourage that.
Yeah, and ask, you know, make sure you're asking questions. People are always willing to share what their struggles have been. Honestly, we had a lot of that, Kristen and I did early on, where we were asking people questions about, you know, how did you overcome these certain things. You know, a couple book recommendations I'd throw out there right now that have been helpful to me. One was Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. That's by Dr. Meg Meeker. Father John Ricardo is a huge fan of her. She's spoken at a few of his events, and it's a great book. Another one that has been very helpful for a lot of people that I've read is The Five Love Languages as well. So that's going to help you from a communication standpoint. Both of those are great books. A lot of great literature out there, but those two are two that come to as a top of mind for me. So thank you again for joining us on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.